to the Shutdown Fullcast. You are listening to the internet's only college football podcast. I am Spencer Hall, emotional support monkey. Joining me is emotional support monkey Jason Kirk. Hello.
So do emotional support monkeys themselves have emotional support monkeys? I mean, I feel that is how it works in the wild, but I'm not sure if we have officially classified that via federal statute or what have you.
Jason, I'm so glad you asked. This is why there are so many different sizes of monkeys.
Yeah, you might need more emotional support in the form of a larger...
Russian nesting monkeys.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yes.
Monkeyoshka is, I believe, what they're called.
Yes. The third member of this emotional support barrel of monkeys, Ryan Nanny. Ryan, joining us from Nashville. How are you being emotionally supported today?
I'm not.
Get
a monkey.
We have to deploy.
I have my green tea, but I haven't seen a monkey. I couldn't tell you the last time I saw a monkey in person. It's been a minute.
When was the last time I saw a monkey?
There were not any at UConn Vanderbilt.
Nope.
No.
Not as far as I know. No.
I think the last zoo. No, I've been to the Nashville Zoo. That was like two Christmases ago. Yeah, it's been a while.
When is the last time you saw... Have you ever seen a surprise monkey?
Yes, I have. That would be last year on the Beltline in Atlanta. Somebody had like a macaque.
Was it on a skateboard?
It was sadly not on a skateboard. Okay. It was not performing any classic cartoon pet monkey behavior.
Maybe it was new.
I'm trying to review the things I've seen. I've seen a rabbit just out hanging out on someone's lap in the subway. Live fish in a bag.
Sure.
A lot of
birds. We have a surprise pig in our neighborhood.
We did get a surprise pig.
I mean, we still have a surprise pig. It lives here. There is a free range pig in our neighborhood that coexists somewhat improbably with a number of free range pit bulls.
I think pigs are
bros. Yeah.
No, that's fair. Jason, did we ever get have we had this year an update from your daughter on her taxonomy of animals and what categories they fall under?
I think pigs would definitely be considered dogs, especially now that she's vegetarian. I think all animals are dogs in her mind.
Okay.
So, and pigs are really good pets. Emily had a pet pig as a teenager. So pigs are definitely
smart.
High on the dog list in our household.
Pigs are super smart. They're very clean. I support them.
Yeah, they're nice.
I would very much like to be one of those somewhat problematic Instagram teacup pig owners who puts them in tiny pairs of rain boots and sailor suits and paints their toenails and stuff.
That feels torturous to a pig. They love getting sloppy and playing in puddles and stuff. And we're depriving them of
that. But they're naturally very clean, though.
Yeah, and they
fluff their straw and make their beds. And
they like to flaunt their cleanliness by first getting as messy as possible. Though
that's how clean they are. They have to stunt on everyone else and be like, look at what I can recover from.
Maybe the degree of difficulty cleanliness.
Maybe that's what was happening at Jeff Adams' house. He was flaunting his cleanliness by getting things as messy as possible.
Maybe.
Now, who's Jeff Adams?
Well,
or
first
Jeff
of all,
Banks,
I have one. I have one last person to introduce. I was going to say, if you could make a new kind of emotional support animal, Holly Anderson. The fourth member of this emotional support animal hive. If you could make your own emotional support animal, any species, we're open. I'm going to say that this definitely would be if you do this, I'm not going to stick to the tedium of the animal being responsible, right? Like I'm not, or irresponsible. I'm not going to be realistic. I'm not going to say like, oh, you can't have an emotional support tarantula. No, I'm talking about a sentient, very emotionally intelligent tarantula that's able to comfort you and provide advice. If you want a blue whale, you can have that. If you wanted a horde of locusts that was your emotional support horde of locusts,
these are all great ideas.
I would let you have one. So what would you choose?
Now, as much as I love the idea of an emotional support tarantula, if you've never met a tarantula in person, they're very cuddly. They're little spiders covered in fur. If you own a cat... I'm happy to tell you, you own half a tarantula. That's basically what they're like. If you have two cats, you have a whole one. You know what I'm going to say as far as my selection for emotional support animal. It's already propped up on my shoulder. I'm already stroking its scales. Because what is an emotional support animal for but to attend to your specific emotional needs? And my specific emotional needs involve violence a lot of the time. So... This is Hephaestus, my emotional support Komodo dragon. We're very happy. Please do not put your fingers near his mouth. He's a very good boy.
That's a damn strong suggestion. I don't really... like the best way, for, I think, for us to approach this is, yes, who is Jeff Banks? Who are we talking about? Why are we discussing monkeys?
Let's first, oh man, this is gawky as hell. Spencer,
mm-hmm.
is it possible for us to figure out which one of us found out first? Because I think you probably found out last because you were filming.
That's right.
Thinking Out Loud, Monday nights at 7 p.m. on the SEC Network.
Mm-hmm. Because the initial tweet that set this whole thing off came out at 6:58 p.m. Eastern time.
I was in a class that started at 7 p.m. and let out at 10 p.m.
So I get like 8 texts that all have some variation of, ah, monkey!
Yep, and, same. I came out of class and my phone was at like 12% because of all the notifications.
I will say, in the middle of a pandemic, it is always terrifying to look down and see, ah, monkey on your phone, as if somebody has finally done the outbreak monkey scenario where they get into the CDC, get infected with like super monkey pox, and then go out and destroy the world.
I just feel like we're not that interesting as a species to be able to pull that off.
This entire story is a counterpoint to that suggestion. Jason, where were you when you first heard the siren song of Monkey Gate?
I'm actually reviewing my timeline just to be a, you know, I want to take this forensic exercise very seriously.
Please.
I feel like I saw the initial rumor type tweet. I would love to credit the account of apparently one of our finest journalists. But I feel like an A&M fan was on it first. It was very, very rumory. And I feel like I saw that and thought, okay, this is college football, so it could be real. But didn't make much of it. And then I went for a walk for a couple hours, and I was listening to music and came back, and I had like a very sincere tweet about it. And then saw like, oh, okay, read the room. We're not doing sincere tonight online, and saw like cascades of monkey jokes, and then caught up. So it was well into it for me that I found out. And that was a pretty nice place to jump in, like after everyone was already at full boil, rather than seeing it cresting and like seeing people piece things together. It was very fun, like, jumping in after, cause like, I guess the, you know, being like actually in college football media for a while, like I kind of am used to like, I remember like when Manti Te'o and that news dropped, it was like instant hush and like, you know, right there at the ground floor level of the news coming out and like being the person watching others find out. This was the complete opposite. Like I was the person walking in the door with the pizza as the room was on fire.
This wave pool is already in motion.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I really like about this story?
Mm.
It is that, and normally I would be protesting vehemently at the affixing of the suffix gate to any random scandal, but there was a gate involved.
There's literally a gate involved.
Ryan, just this once we're gonna have a good old gate time.
Ryan, where were you when you heard monkey news?
I was sitting in my living room, probably waiting for my kid to go to sleep. Caroline Darney sent a DM to Floyd and me. That was just a link to, I think it was this A&M person that Jason mentioned. Let me find it. Yeah, Tom Campbell. And this is what the original thing said. I'm hearing a report from a credible source that Texas Longhorns special team coach Jeff Banks' monkey allegedly attacked and seriously hurt a young trick-or-treater last night on Halloween. The monkey's jaws apparently had to be pried off the small child. There are several parts of that that I don't think it's subsequently gone that way. First of all, I don't know that this kid is seriously hurt. At least there hasn't been any strong indication of that.
Right.
It also does not appear to have been the coach's monkey.
That's no.
Which is part. Where the story that's, really took a turn.
That's, yes. So it started in what I would call slightly unusual place, because if you told me there's a staffer on the Texas football coaching staff who has a pet monkey, I'd be like, sure, all of this tracks.
But Texas actually, is next to Louisiana. This is fine.
Yeah. Yeah. And also just like, you know, coaching can be a lonely life. Sometimes you need companionship.
I mean, I was raised like on the idea that people who worked very long jobs with very long hours always had exotic pets, because there were shows where truckers had apes, whole movies where truckers with apes.
Clint Eastwood has a whole movie about it, yeah.
Truckers and orangutans, apparently soulmates, just something that I think we need more of. Fist-fighting soulmates, by the way. This was an orangutan who could throw a left hook.
Well, that's the only way Clint Eastwood shows love.
Yeah, yeah, that was it. That was actually how they met, right? They fought each other. They respected each other so much that they took their grit on the road together.
So, yeah, so I started out from the place of, okay, Jeff Banks, you know, needs companionship, decided to get it from a monkey. I get that, even though it's not my choice, whatever. Jeff Banks did need companionship, but it wasn't the monkey that was providing it, as it turned out.
No, no. That would be, apparently the monkey belongs to his partner. His partner is Danielle Thomas.
We can't get all the information from her anymore because she's tragically deleted her Twitter account.
Because Danielle Thomas, under the Twitter account at Danny_andJB.
You don't have to look for it. Don't bother looking, because that shit is...
Don't bother looking for it.
It's gone.
It's gone. You can find an entire summary of this handily put together by Alex McDaniel on For the Win. It's the partner of Texas Special Teams Coordinator Jeff Banks, and went on to detail all of the things that she had done as precautions, because this is a registered emotional support animal. All of her shots saying that, yeah, she had a haunted house.
This is a lady monkey?
Let's see if we have a gender.
A schmunky?
Yes, yes, okay. This is a schmunky. I've never heard that term, and I don't know if I ever want to say it again. But yes.
Could we go momkey? Perhaps?
Monkus?
Mamkey.
There we go. Good. That's it.
Yes.
A mamkey. To show respect. This is where, in a brief but unsurprising, disappointing detour, the story completely lost contain, because this woman apparently is an exotic dancer. And if there's one thing that Texas football fans do not understand, it is people who work for a living. So I understand that much of Texas fandom found this hysterical at the thought of anyone earning wages and tips to support themselves.
This lady got a job.
There is footage of her being a competent athlete, not something they're comfortable with at the University of Texas.
Now, her profession does play into the story, though.
Yes, because the monkey is part of the act.
Correct.
The monkey has been part of the act, which I will say, takes it a step beyond.
Which, once again, if you are, listen, we're not going to get into the economics of this too much, but what would you rather tell your family you were doing this holiday season? Do you want to tell them, hey, my stage name is Pole Assassin. You may have heard of me. I am, pole dancing is hard, by the way.
Very hard.
I think that a lot of football teams this year could learn a lot from this woman in terms of core strength, in terms of flexibility, in terms of endurance. But would you rather tell your parents that you were performing in the creative arts, getting to work with animals, or would you rather tell them that you were part of the Texas football staff? Ugh.
Yeah, she's not the one who lost to Baylor, despite having a 10-point lead.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, saying you didn't lose to what Barry Switzer called them church schools this past weekend.
Anyways,
okay?
Sorry to detour, but yeah, come on, y'all. Yeah,
as Holly mentioned, just to emphasize, her stage name is, of course, Pole Assassin.
Love it.
And she apparently had already been in the news, because Jerry Springer already declared her the greatest pole dancer he'd ever had on his show, which is an incredible honor.
I have to imagine.
That is a strong pool.
Like, if Jerry says the GOAT, I'm like, she might be.
So, how'd you two meet?
Yeah.
So Jeff Banks, his lineage, his coaching tree lineage, his,
hey boy, it's his career. Thank you, Jason.
It's relevant here because his mentor, of course, would be Mike Price. Spencer, I feel like you're the best person to explain why this is relevant.
We've got some young folks.
Yeah, in the audience. Let me go ahead and take you back. Mike Price, who was a
Alex Johnson, Richard Kirshner, pull up a chair.
Yeah, because we're about to actually set,
those are our imaginary young listeners.
We're about to set a couple of things straight here, okay? Because there is a couple of misconceptions about the Mike Price story. Mike Price He is a former head football coach. Was pretty successful at Washington State. Got them to the Rose Bowl, which, if you think, by the way, if you're like, hey, man, Wazoo's been terrible forever, and you go, not true. They actually did go to a Rose Bowl. The coach who took them there was Mike Price and was responsible for long chain of good quarterbacks, including Ryan Leaf, Drew Bledsoe. So, yeah, they had some slangers out there. In addition to that, by the way, Mike Price, known for being Mike Price is, by the way, the coolest. Like, he's known for just being kind of out of pocket and, like, real casual about organization, play calling. He actually had, this is a Matt Hayes story, but he would tell this to you. Matt Hayes, longtime college football reporter, told me this story that he covered him. He did like a sideline profile where, imagine this in this like day and age, he had him right there on the sideline with him for a whole game. And at one point in the middle of like the third quarter, he looks over at Hayes and goes, hey, remind me to run the ball. Like, just told him, hey, I should run the ball.
That's so much better than the version of the story that I heard, which was just that he let him call a play.
He did let him call a play, too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wait, was this in the same game?
Yeah.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah, you want to spin one? Call it up, buddy. Yeah, Mike Price ruled.
But that's not why people are bringing up Mike Price.
Right. That sets the stage a little bit.
So to speak.
It does. Yep. So after success at Washington State, I also need you to get this out of your mind that Alabama has been a world beater forever. No, they were quite troubled, and they needed a new head coach because in 2002, Dennis Franchione, who was the head coach at Alabama, left. He just left for the Texas A&M gig. Just whoop, took it because he didn't want to.
So you're saying there's precedent.
I'm saying it's happened.
I think you're underselling that somehow because he didn't just leave. Alabama offered him a 10-year contract, and he left.
Yeah,
and Twitter wasn't around then, but youngsters, you really cannot oversell the cataclysm that this set off in talk radio and in these things that we used to call newspapers, which is like a blog that you can throw away.
Yeah, so they basically, Dennis Franchione and Alabama said, hey, I'm really into you. Let's do this. And Dennis Franchione was like, curtains, babe. Catch these taillights. So I'm going to a real job. Texas A&M.
I think one other thing to mention for the younger listener is at this point, Bama wasn't Bama at the time. That, you know, they'd been sort of a fading power for like 15 years, kind of like Florida. But I think that's the modern corollary.
I thought we all agreed that that wasn't a thing, but go ahead.
Yeah, no, I didn't violate that, and you didn't violate that.
No, I'm allowed to say the word Florida.
Jason is allowed to because Jason knows where the guardrails are and can navigate accordingly. I've appointed myself arbiter.
Holly, the story we're talking about is about people who thought they knew where the guardrails were, and then a kid got bit. So let's just see how this goes.
So
you know who else didn't know where the guardrails were?
That's right. So he goes and coaches. He takes the deal. Mike Price
should have had guardrails.
So, and then Mike Price is offered the job at Alabama. Which
then what?
And then he gets to Tuscaloosa, spends the spring there doing practice, and a Sports Illustrated piece by Don Yeager comes out. And in that piece, Mike Price is portrayed as visiting strip clubs. And not only visiting strip clubs, this is still, by the way, in the vault. Like, you can still read this article, even though you'll see it cost them a lot.
Strip club visitation then being portrayed as a bad thing because Atlanta was not prominent enough on the national sports scene at the time.
And in this article, by the way, it is shown that, or there are stories told that Mike Price lost his credit card at a strip club, that he was drunk and misbehaving at a golf tournament. By the way, I don't think that's possible in the state of Alabama, Georgia, Mississippi, several other southeastern states.
Oh, he wasn't the golf tournament was in Pensacola.
Yeah, oh, sorry, God. It's Pensacola. Yeah, that's
even
definitely
qualifies
not possible.
As misbehaving in that scenario?
You broke Pensacola law?
Like, did he
just
did
set
he
off a nuke or
on?
Something?
I think it's when you eat something with a fork.
I think it's he showed up in a shirt with buttons.
Yeah. The problem with this story, which is essentially the story itself is like a, hey, this guy didn't fit in here story. Right?
I love the scrupulous legality Spencer is applying here, but there is a reason.
There's a reason!
There's a reason!
Every other episode of this show, it's like, Spencer's like, what is it, week four? And we're like, the season is over. But this story, he's going to fucking nail it. I love it.
There's a reason.
Because we'll get sued out of existence, sir.
Yeah, listen, if you see a man tiptoeing in a field, right, that's because there's landmines in
Folks,
it. That's what I am doing.
Folks, you can reach us at Matt Iglesias.
There are accounts.
Noted free speech advocate.
There are accounts in this story of Mike Price getting lap dances at strip clubs.
That's what strip clubs are for.
Being super drunk, right? Asking strippers to a hotel, being at a hotel, and then
asking strippers to a hotel like it's fucking homecoming.
Uh-huh. Will you hotel with me?
Yeah, and then
you look sleepy.
Did Mike Price invent the promposal?
No, but he did invent screaming Roll Tide during sex. According
I
to
doubt
this
that.
Article.
That's got to be like a century old.
Yeah,
that's,
come on.
Right? And
Wallace Wade invented that.
Don Yeager's words.
Yeah, there's
not
a reason
mine.
Mal Moore called it comeback sauce. Nothing. That is such a narrow joke that I'm not even going to. Sorry. I think I sprained something. I'm going to be quiet now.
So
I'm just picturing Bama barbecue sauce. Anyway, continue, Spencer.
So anyway, this article comes out after Mike Price is fired at Alabama.
This is 20 years ago. Just to give everybody context here. This is when Jeff Banks is like just out of college, basically.
Yeah, he'd been a punter.
Probably a GA or something?
Yeah, he'd been a punter at Wazoo under Price, and now is sort of I'm trying not to say up-and-coming coach, but those are the words.
So Price responded to this article, okay, by suing Sports Illustrated for $20 million. Right? Saying that he was defamed and slandered by this story and detailing his actions the night he visited a topless bar in Pensacola, Florida. He acknowledged being drunk, but he denied allegations of three-way sex at his hotel. I would go ahead and say this.
They did have problems finishing the drill that year.
Mike Price is the first man to take legal action over somebody being like, you pulled off a threesome? And he's like, get my attorney. I could never do that. It's beyond my capabilities.
We don't run the triple here at Bama.
Yeah.
Take that shit to Statesboro.
No, they're going to hire fucking Clay Hilton. You see that?
Yeah.
What in the fucking world is happening? That's the rumor.
Wait. In real life right now?
I don't think it's a rumor. I think it's like nearly official.
Like no, Godfrey even said like they're interested in Clay Hilton.
Like
how
like,
are we
going to
know
fuck?
For sure?
The latest thing I've seen is that they have agreed to a deal. It's not a like maybe this will happen, but like
oh God.
Now that happened anyway. In two.
There's all kinds of shit. We're out of control. Mm-hmm. There's folks. There's too much news.
Mm-hmm. So Mike Price goes and takes the UTEP job after that. The suit takes about 3 years, 3.5 years to unwind.
And is deeply entertaining while doing so.
Yeah. And he wins a settlement against SI, one that cost them a lot of money.
Fortunately, SI never did anything like that again.
That is correct. So... If you want the full background on Awesome Mike Price,
the story is still up.
The story's still up. You can
somehow
read it. It's inaccurate, according to a civil court.
But it will not log off.
Yeah, it will. Yeah, we will not log off. It is still somehow there, and I'm sure Mike Price can dry his tears of hurt by taking $100 bills and rubbing
them
on
his ruddy cheeks.
Can I give you a quote?
Please do.
Here's a quote from Mike Price. 2018AL.com. Mike Price on Banks, the hero of our story, or at least the person who is the partner of the woman who has the hero of our story. Mike Price on Jeff Banks. He's got flair. He's a real aggressive guy, a 100%er. He's a workaholic, and yet he's fun to be around. And I take Mike Price's word on that. And I think the situation confirms Mike Price tells the truth as far as how fun Jeff Banks is to be around.
Mm-hmm. So
relationships are complicated, I think is.
Relationships are endlessly complicated.
Anyway, why did we bring up Mike Price again?
To get us back to Jeff Banks, the special teams coach.
No other reason?
No other reason. Okay. None.
Well, because also, we have an established track record recommendation, a glowing endorsement of Jeff Banks as a fun guy by none other than Mike Price himself.
Who,
I would say, by the way, independent of any SI story about his adventures in Pensacola that may or may not have happened.
Adventures in Pensacola.
We have evidence.
The worst Indiana Jones movie possible.
Yeah, folks, when you hear Godfrey wax poetic about his favorite drink, this is actually what it's named after.
The treasure is at Alvin's Island. It's a place called Alvin's Island. Do we need a boat? No. It's got a parking lot. It's got rubber snakes.
Do we need a boat?
Yeah, do we need a boat?
Yes.
Like Lethal Weapon style, do we need a boat?
So this gets us back to the report from yes.
Betty made the most disgusted noise at that joke.
She should have.
God, come on.
I want to point out two football-specific incidents involving... So Banks, Texas' special teams coach, was previously Alabama's special teams coach, which the only struggle prone part of the Alabama football program. Not necessarily his fault, but, you know, the kicking situation has been bad for years. Listeners might recall the Alabama-Clemson title game, the fake field goal that all of us rejoiced to in real time. This would have been Jeff Banks' led unit. I don't know if he called it or not, but let's just go ahead and add that to this story. Also, as friend of the program Josh Black was quick to point out, Jeff Banks has also overseen a pole assassination of his own when the 2019, I believe, Iron Bowl was decided by a field goal clanging off an upright. Thereby, Bama's football assassinating the poll, handing the victory to Auburn.
Listen,
so,
I'm just
so Jeff Banks has a track record here.
I'm just seeing a man here who surrounds himself with the ability to move goalposts.
He also so what's also interesting is I don't know why all of the stories focus on him being the special teams coach because he's also the tight ends coach, which is just perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the assistant head coach. But as the special teams coach, his job is insanely easy because the same player at Texas kicks field goals, handles kickoffs, mm-hmm. and punts.
He's basically a tutor.
To one person, to Cameron Dicker, who
and that guy's like last name is what?
Dicker.
Yeah.
Dicker the kicker. Like,
he's a tutor in the old-fashioned British sense. He's like a governess.
This is also where I should let you know, and we don't have to stay on this, that there's a freshman kicker on the Texas roster whose name is Bert Auburn.
No.
That's it. That's all.
That's fake.
And his sister, Sienna.
Bert Auburn.
How did they let him go? How did Auburn?
I don't know.
You have to.
I don't know. He is from Flower Mound, Texas. So.
That man's 58 years old. There are no Berts. We don't make Berts anymore.
We don't make Berts or Garys anymore. Gary Auburn.
So, like, Jeff Banks does not, there's not that much he has to, like, what is he doing?
I think we know what he's
recruiting.
Doing.
That's recruiting. Fine. That's yeah. that's what he's, that that's when you see so somebody with, like, five different job titles, recruiting.
Yeah. Well, also, you can maybe start to understand why in the, you know, relentless punishing schedule of Power 5 football, he found the time to develop a hobby.
Yes.
Which of these is his hobby at this point?
I'm going to...
Appreciating the arts, for one thing.
Can we... Animal.
Secondly, enjoying enjoying our friends in the animal kingdom.
So this leads me to a question.
Support of the creative arts.
Mm-hmm.
The trick or treat.
Sorry, we're making jokes here, but for real, if you're calling his partner a stripper like it's a bad thing, you're a piece of shit. Okay, let's keep going.
Yeah. Again, real job.
Unlike some people.
So it seems like the trick or treater encountered the monkey in question as part of, or as a diversion from, a Halloween maze that was set up at their home.
Based on the video, I'm not sure if it was meant to be a maze, because she filmed going through the backyard, indicating, at least from her perspective, that it was meant to be closed off with several barriers to entry that a child would have had to intentionally trespass beyond.
Oh, I haven't seen the video.
So, yes.
She deleted it, but a few people grabbed it.
Yeah, okay. To back up, Danielle Banks, on her account, posted numerous tweets detailing the care that she takes in managing her emotional support monkey, and then took a video.
What's the monkey's name?
I do not know the monkey's name.
I've only seen it referred to as Baby, which is a great name for a monkey.
It may be Lila.
Sure.
But
after the a pet monkey snobby rich girl in Sweet Valley High.
Better. Gia. Gia is
Yeah.
Right?
That sounds right.
Ah.
So, Gia, Danielle took video including Gia's habitat, Gia's very large cage, which by the way had a sign on it that was like labeled emotional support monkey, like on
would
the
you
cage.
Say sign would you say sign
are we talking written. Engraved right yeah
are it we talking yeah, yeah.
It looked like blue Crayola marker or
it kind of
along
looked
those
like
lines.
It kind of looked like she saw this happening and went and made the sign and put it on
correct
the cage.
Correct was like and before the, I go film this I'm gonna yeah. put this sign up
smart
yeah not only am I a dancer and not only am I out here supporting the kids for Halloween, but I have also had training as a paralegal.
Mm-hmm. I'm my own lawyer now. Look at me.
Also, the sign, the contrast with, like, you know, really nice backyard, two successful people. And then the backyard is, it very much looks like made 30 seconds ago.
Thank you for pointing that out, Jason. That actually the signs like ramshackleness contrasted greatly with, I was like, damn, you got a nice spot. This is a nice little thing you got here.
And that's the monkey's habitat is big. Like the monkey is treated like a star. It's a tiny monkey with quite a huge enclosure. I don't know what the actual story was, but like, I mean, I kind of think the kid had to be putting in some effort here. I don't want to judge the kid at all,
but kids do things
and things happen. But
the monkey had
a lot of space is what I'm saying.
Here's the problem. If you're talking about, I had some kids over for a pool party or some shit. Fine, I get what you're saying. But you created a Halloween maze, which is supposed to be spooky and scary and full of things that, like, you're not, like, in no other circumstance are you, like, go ahead, open this coffin. But if you're in a haunted house or some shit, it's like, yeah, it's fine. So why would somebody see, like, this clearly handwritten bullshit danger monkey attack sign and be like, oh, well, that one's real. That's the one that I should pay attention to.
Are we sure it was a maze?
That's what she said.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
There's a bowl of peeled grapes, like this is the dead man's eyeball, and then there's a sign that says this is the dead man's emotional support monkey.
Yeah.
Right. Whereas if you just came over to my house for Thanksgiving and found a cooler that said biohazard and opened it, yeah, that is on you. But on Halloween, that's my fault.
So Halloween is the purge for monkeys.
Oh.
Sure. It is now.
Good,
I mean, how do you put up a sign that says, no, seriously, I know it's Halloween, but this sign is legit? Is that the hoops you have to jump through here?
I guess my argument there would be, even if you did, this is a child we're talking about. Yes. That kid's not going to pay attention to signage.
I would simply
high voltage signs don't keep out children.
If I had a monkey living in my house, I would feel that that was enough excitement, and I would simply put out a bowl of candy that said "Take one."
What if
I would draw that line and move on?
What if this? I think the only way to keep kids away from the monkey would be to put up a sign that says like lots of homework back here, right? Or like danger, beware, we're doing chores
food this way.
Yeah, granola
Halloween
bars.
Halloween raisins, take five.
No Wi-Fi past this point.
Mm. Oh, that
no
was
Fortnite dances.
Yeah. No Roblox. No Roblox past this line.
Oh, that is spooky.
Yeah.
Abandon all Minecraft, you enter.
Yeah, there's just very little about these
this
two.
Way Minecraft, that way Minecraft.
I need to see more before you can be like, well, maybe this child was making poor decisions. It's Halloween. All it is children making poor decisions.
Yeah, I don't know necessarily about poor decisions. So I don't want to judge the child. I'm just saying the monkey was clearly agitated to such a degree that it didn't just retire to the other, like, corridor of its huge enclosure. Mm-hmm. It felt agitated enough to attack the child from across a great distance.
Let's step back a little bit here. This has all happened within a week and a half of Texas Tech firing its coach in the middle of the season. TCU having Gary Patterson step down after, what, like 22 years? Florida is doing its own thing. I'm not talking about it, but it is happening. Like, there was plenty going on in the college football universe to talk about that was interesting, that was disastrous, that was frustrating, whatever.
And as usual, Texas has to show off.
And boy, have they ever.
So, you know what this means. By the time this episode posts, I can't even imagine what stunt the Aggies are going to pull. Y'all better talk about us instead.
This is my emotional support helicopter.
Look at this. I put a rabid giraffe in a kid's hospital. Look at me.
Rabid giraffe. It sounds horrifying, but also kind of easy to avoid, I guess, in a way.
Yeah, yeah.
You just sort of, like, sidestep it, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Just stand directly in front of it.
He tried to bite me, but I'm very short.
Please do that voice all the time.
Okay. People are just going to be
there's
like,
something
why,
really
why is Ryan talking?
That.
Oh, that's the classic giraffe avoider kid.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The only other thing I want to add about the Halloween maze is this. Jeff Banks didn't get hired until, like, January. So he hasn't lived in this house that long. He hasn't been in this neighborhood that long. It's a very bold move this early to live in a place and be like, hey, man, we got the Halloween maze for the kids that we've never met. Come on in. This is Pole Assassin. She's got a monkey, but he's locked up. Don't worry about it. Anyway, who wants three Musketeers? Full size.
And also a football coach. I mean, he's been at home like 8 minutes out of this year.
Correct.
Yeah, so, like, they've like, never met this guy. Like, he probably wasn't even home.
I guarantee. He was. The Baylor game was on the road, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So I guarantee he's on the way back and she's texting like, hey, the Halloween maze looking great. Yeah, whatever. Okay, sure. Next thing you know.
Okay, but now I have a new business idea.
Okay.
Strip club escape room.
Hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Because I'm like, maybe she's just really into theatrics.
Yeah.
Did the dancers assist you or are they like, are they doing the, are they giving you the clues?
For money, you have to pay for the clothes.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
We can discuss this in our business meeting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't give away.
Trademark.
Don't give away
trademark.
Such a good idea.
This is trademarked. All of this is trademarked.
I also enjoy Ryan at like the legal brain. I can feel you instantly homing in on like suing. You're like, okay, here, where are the seams? Where can we bust this case open?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I think I would start with your monkey bit a child. Okay. I think that's probably a weak.
I get that this had a habitat, but could the monkey not have been in an upstairs bathroom for the night?
One of the most confusing things about this was that this woman decided to, after this became the talk of Twitter, decided to tweet about it a lot. Like, mm-hmm. a lot. And that's the part that was really, like, there are a lot of bad and questionable decisions here. That was probably the most questionable. Because
that was
all full of, like, you shouldn't judge before you hear. And she keeps changing the story in weird ways where she's like, no child was attacked. Later, I was told that there was a small monkey bite, but no. It's like, what's going on?
It was also, this is also what really lent it the air of, Your Honor, I will be representing myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. This is where she is never clear. She's clearly never seen Shut the Fuck Up Friday. She's never seen, right? In any legal situation.
And Danielle, babe, we are on your side.
Yeah.
This is
probably.
This is
as far
where,
as we know.
This is where I am obligated. And people have talked about this on Twitter already. So I'll address this quickly. Are you all familiar with the attractive nuisance concept in law?
Oh, yeah.
I am.
Thanks to trampolines. Yes.
I'm not, so explain it to me.
So basically it says, if you have something dangerous on your property that is accessible to a child, and you know, like, you reasonably foresee that a child would be attracted to this, like a above ground pool or a trampoline or something else where you're like, yep, a kid would try to get in that and they could get hurt as a result. You basically don't get to say, well, this child should have made a better, you know, this child should have made better choices. It's like, no, because children are children and they trespass. Normally, a trespasser doesn't have like that much protection against you for keeping your property.
But the law recognizes what we were talking about earlier, that like kids are going to kid.
Yeah, so this is like where this usually applies to trampoline swimming pools, like an abandoned car or something like that. There's anything on your property. And they just sort of like say, okay, what would a child do here? And in a weird way, again, because it was a haunted house or maze or whatever, and because the sign looks so fucking crazy and amateurish, I think the sign made things worse in some ways, because it is the kind of sign where you're like, oh, there's more spooks and scares and fun in this cage, probably.
Well, and also, this is the monkey being... Like, and I know it's got to have its own space and whatnot, but just for the night, the monkey being out there at all is really what is baffling to me, because this is clearly an animal that is very well cared for, that, you know, that has a lot of, you know, that has a lot of thought putting into its living space. So why for the night would you want the monkey? Like, that's probably a stressful environment for that animal, right? Being around all these like screaming sugared up kids.
Why, even if
that is the monkey's living space, why is the monkey there that night?
There are people who are like, who put out signs. Like Action Cookbook put out a sign that was like, hey, please don't ring my doorbell. It makes my dog crazy. Here's the candy. Mm-hmm. This is like way more stressful than that.
But, like, why would you want the monkey out there with all these sugared up kids?
I don't know.
That's the decision point that I really don't understand.
Do you think that the neighborhood knew this was a monkey house?
Doesn't strike me as a person who is shy about the monkey.
Right.
Yeah. Also, by the way, everyone was going because they're like, yeah, I heard she's got a monkey. We should go see.
You think that makes people want to go?
Yeah,
I mean, not just a monkey that is like talented and performs on stage.
A performing monkey. Yeah.
I mean, you guys have little kids. How would they react to this news?
This is a
hey. There's a haunted house with a monkey.
This is a thespian.
A haunted house with a talented monkey.
I gotta tell you, my daughter tried to sprint into the ocean the first time she saw it. So we're not going to a haunted house with a monkey because she will go straight for it and try to hug it. And that's
Oh, how did Halloween go?
Halloween went great. Mostly because my child wasn't attacked. Thank you. Yeah, it went exquisite. Great. It went great. My child wasn't attacked by a monkey at a stranger's house. So I would call it like a win on all fronts.
I thought we'd had a pretty good Halloween, and then I saw that it could go much worse, and I feel really good.
We had one nephew who surreptitiously, unbeknownst to anyone else, was eating his candy as he went.
Yeah.
Like all of it.
Yeah.
And by the time they came by, my house later on that evening to take photos in front of the giant skeleton, he wouldn't even get out of the car. He was just staring into space like he'd been lobotomized. I'm really glad that I wasn't around for the aftermath of that.
I think he got emotional. I think that happened.
Can I ask one more question that's troubling me about this story?
Yeah. What else are we going to talk about?
I feel like there is no way to bring this story to somebody who's not extremely online.
Have we all attempted this?
I have not. No, I thought about it. Like, my wife was sitting next to me, and while this is happening on Twitter, and I kept looking over at her like, should I? Is it? And I just decided not to. It seemed like too steep. It seemed like sort of trying to get somebody to watch the last Lord of the Rings movie with no context. Be like,
I'm actually really glad you brought that up, because there was another internet explosion taking place last night that actually took me a few minutes to sort out of the monkey story, because I was getting all of these messages simultaneously. the Love Trap video. And if you haven't seen it, I'm not going to describe anything else about it. I would just encourage you to go watch it and find out nothing about it before you go. But I was in one of those places where, you know, it's 10 o'clock. I got out of class. I am given both of these pieces of information and I'm howling. It's clearly, as Jason said earlier, it's one of those great nights online. We have already passed through earnestness and everybody is into giggle oblivion. And I'm on the phone with my mother. I'm on FaceTime with my mother and I send her the Love Trap video. But I did not send her the monkey story, and I didn't really think about why in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even mention the monkey thing.
At around 1 a.m. local, Emily was already in bed, and I was like, you know, I finally logged off, and I walked in like, hey, are you awake? She's like, oh, like okay, so the University of Texas, right? And like her college football familiarity is like wisely very low. Like she'll ask me like once a year, like, is Nick Saban still around?
Yeah,
he's still around. Okay.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
And, like that's it. She'll ask me like, how is Tom Brady doing? How is Nick Saban doing? And this is our entire football discussion per year. And it's always like really good. That's it. Mm. And I was like, okay, so and I try to tell the story, like trying to emphasize which parts are, you know, like, yes, sure, this lady's a stripper. That's not funny in and of itself. It's only funny because she has a monkey and blah, blah, blah. And like trying to tell her the story. And she's like, oh, okay. That's right. And then like the next morning, like first thing I say is, okay, so what of that do you remember? Because I got to tell you again. But it didn't hit her in quite the same way as it did online people. Online people and college football people. And I don't know if there is a successful way to, like, I've seen a few people tweeting in the morning, like, I went to talk to my coworkers and none of them really, they kind of just glazed over. I don't.
Well, like, at its core, what you have to do is say, hey, I'm going to tell you a really crazy and funny story about a child who got attacked by an animal. Like that's the big that's the hump you have to get over here.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that we've all kind of decided is funny. Right? Like
it
like when you very
normal.
First see the first tweet, like I think your reaction is like, oh dear, I hope the child
right.
is okay.
Right.
And then after like 3 hours of everyone laughing, you're like, I'm sure the kid's fine.
Yes, yes. It is all very
I have
premised.
Decided for my own convenience that the
yes,
child is fine.
It is premised on we have decided that there has not been evidence to the contrary, so therefore the child is okay. But
and
like,
if
that might not be true, and now this is not a funny story.
If it comes out that the you know, the kid is not okay, delete this episode and pretend we previewed week 10, okay?
Yeah. Should we do like 5 minutes of week 10 and just...
And then that'll be the
episode. Will. I do want to say
North Dakota State.
It's
North Dakota State, South Dakota State week.
Mm-hmm.
Big week in FCS. You got the Ivy League championship. You got the Big Sky championship, basically. So there you go.
Yeah.
All right, we're good.
We got Maction all week. There you go.
Yep.
I would
and
also...
And Clay Helton at Georgia Southern.
Clay,
for
boy,
some fucking reason.
We talked.
Sure.
Woo, heat. I do know where this is going.
Can somebody explain why? Can anybody make a case for Clay Helton getting the Georgia Southern job?
Absolutely not.
No.
Server, what you got?
He's white and white guys get
Yeah.
Oh, they saw the word Clay and were like, you
Clay.
Are like us.
Oh, you got a coach in Georgia. Your name's Clay.
He sounds like red dirt.
You sound like red dirt. I
like he couldn't even recruit well at US fucking C.
He's gonna get talent. Oh, he's gonna bring.
I wonder
so
if
much
it's so like Georgia Southern's whole brand is like we don't have shit on our helmets or we don't have sleeves and our names and our jerseys and you know our water supply is a
we're
creek
the faceless man.
And like
yeah
we're very yeah. very very plain. So in sure. a sense he might be absolutely perfect.
Yeah,
we're
we
gonna
got
find
the least
the blankest
recognizable
man.
Coach.
Our all time hero find. Is bald. Right, like,
mm-hmm.
yeah,
plainest possible.
He doesn't even have a full first name, just a noise. Irk, Irk. Yeah, I know where this is going. By the way, the story because there's a Texas coach who has a pet monkey, a small one, in his home.
Are we talking about a different one? A different
no.
coach?
No,
oh.
I
oh,
not that
okay.
I know of.
Okay,
not that I know.
That's,
of. I have
sorry.
No new
thought,
information on this.
Right.
Spencer,
okay.
have you heard anything that's been said in the past like 5 minutes?
I did.
Just asking for research.
I did. I'm just bringing this back.
Okay.
To a button
yeah.
here.
Yeah. yeah.
Because it's not a rivalry, and no one at Texas A&M is paying attention to this.
Mm-mm.
But if next year we hear holiday party interrupted by horror of gorilla ripping arms off of guest, this is where it started.
Listen, right? If Sark is still the coach there, at least you know that his wife will ensure that Sark and the gorilla have the sickest matching party suits.
Yeah. We got to get the gorilla a bow tie. Jimbo's going to be like, I need the biggest ape you got. I need biggest apes. Biggest ape. Just put the biggest ape in my house. Get three of them. Get three and put them in my other house. Fill
the
whole ranch.
I want to be living on the set of Congo. That's what I want to be. Yeah. Stop eating my sesame cake.
Me, Amy. Me, good gorilla.
Hyper intelligent apes. That's what I want. All of them. Can you get that one from that movie with The Rock, Rampage?
With the diamonds. With the blue diamonds and the lasers. I want that.
Yeah. Recruits will love it. You bring it in and be like, here's my hyper intelligent gorilla.
Oh my God. Can you imagine being a sign language interpreter trying to keep up with Jimbo so you can sign for the ape?
You'd get arthritis in a week. In a week. The ape would also be like, yo, slow down. Chill. Chill.
What? Like, you have got to calm down, dude.
So it's clearly not special teams. What is the position coach archetype that is best suited to have a domestic primate?
Strength.
Is it?
Yeah.
Strength or D line. I think D lineman, just because I'm like Ed Ogeron. Ed Ogeron would be like, yeah, this gorilla respects me.
He's a good listener.
Yeah, he's good. We're very close friends, for the two of us. He understands my problems.
It's because neither of them wear shirts.
Emotional support gorilla.
Emotional support ape. Yeah,
emotional a gorilla support can gorilla support form. A lot of emotion, I think.
I think they're very emotionally intelligent. A chimp? No. Chimp's going to lie to you. Chimp's going to talk to other chimps about you. Chimp's going to be like, he is the saddest motherfucker I've ever met in my life.
While smoking.
And they're assholes. Yeah, like I don't, yeah. The chimp gossip is the least of my worries. I'm worried it might eat my face.
Yo, clearly you haven't heard chimp gossip. It's cutting.
I can't because they have chewed my ears off.
I'm with you, though. I don't want an emotional support animal that doesn't smoke. I don't trust it.
I guess they gotta understand.
Am I qualified to coach Georgia Southern? Who can say?
Oh, I'm taking on all this stress from my owner, so I gotta get it out somehow. That's why I smoke.
I don't trust an ape that doesn't smoke backhanded, right? Mm-hmm. Like with the cigarette backloaded so it looks like it's extra disturbed, right? Like, yeah, fuck all this.
Russian style.
Is Texas ever going to address this in any way, shape, or form?
No.
God, I hope so.
No.
Okay.
I want them to be clear, just because I want to see them try.
And
like they couldn't even get out of the racist choo-choo songs way. Let's see what happens down this train track.
And Texas does have a road game at West Virginia left, and I think that is the only team left on the schedule.
Oh no!
Might pull some
West
shit.
Virginia doesn't care enough about Texas to make this funny.
Yeah, but they might care enough to make some jokes.
I don't know, man. West Virginia is
about Texas.
They have adopted Horns Down. They are number two on the Horns Down loving list. West Virginia, I mean, they don't have any rivals out there at the moment.
There might be somebody There might be somebody sitting in the front row in Morgantown wearing a Monkey Butler costume, right? Like with a little.
It's getting cold. We are starting to see those full body costume pieces come out.
I mean, Jeff Banks is on the field, so somebody could conceivably be right behind him.
I mean, it's Morgantown. You could release a monkey.
You could bring one in the stadium.
Yeah,
totally legal.
He's a season ticket holder. And he has been for a long time. He supported this program.
A monkey in a raccoon skin hat. That's the cutest thing I've ever imagined.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds like a fucking Pokemon.
That's adorable. Yeah, that's what I think. Strength coach, D-line coach, you know, big man with big feelings. Mm. You know, who need a shoulder to cry on or a face to be ripped off, right? Chimps, by the way, totally will do that. Like when they're talking shit about you and gossiping, they're like, yeah, next Wednesday I'm going to do it, y'all. Yeah, man, teach him his boss. Rip his face off.
Are chimps the most online primates?
Chimps are
like emotionally online?
Yeah.
I think that's
we are the
probably.
Most.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you know, fair point, I suppose, when you bring that into it.
There is one other alarming aspect of this story.
Oh, thank God.
Homefield Apparel has already affirmatively said that they will not be making a monkey shirt.
Homefield, you made the dog pants because we wore you down. So can we please, in the interest of efficiency, I love you, but can we please, in the interest of efficiency, just skip the part where you pretend you're not going to do this and just give us what we want? Thank you for paying us money to talk about your t-shirts on our program.
The Pittsburgh State Gorillas are not yet a home field school, but they will be at some point.
Sure. So. One has to assume. But until that time, I can still recommend that you go to Home Field Apparel. You enter code FULLCAST. You get 20% off your first order. Sweatshirt season is fully here. Sweatpants season. I don't even know if they have any sweatpants right now. Supply chain, just killing us these days. But in the meantime, lots of t-shirts to get. Lots of good baseball shirts, hoodies. Basically, they're like well into the triple digits of schools at this point. They've been bringing back some of the smaller schools lately. They have more schools that you know and love coming. Just not going to do the monkey shirt, though, because, like, I guess they're afraid of making money? I don't know. I mean, they do advertise on this show, so they might be afraid of making money.
Yeah, I'm not a business person, clearly, because I'm on this show.
Yeah, that's fair. I guess they know best.
Anyway, if I wanted to make a bunch of money, I would simply just open an investment account with Acorns.
Acorns.com!
Well, you can start your quest to making a bunch of money by making $5. $5? Just like that. You simply go to acorns.com/fullcast and your fund gets a rocket boost toward the stratosphere of $5. And after that, all of your purchases on things like monkey food, monkey clothes, monkey enclosures,
legal fees,
other monkey goods and monkey services.
Ooh, Ryan, look up monkey law.
Monkey chow.
All of that stuff goes into your magical investment fund that then increases until you and your monkey can retire together. Hmm. Monkeys are kind of born retired, though. That's nice. Why did we change that?
I hadn't thought about that.
So naturally,
what made us think that's bad and we should instead have jobs?
Yeah, they've got a lot to teach us.
They don't have Nintendo Switch. That's why. We decided we wanted Switch, and that cost money.
But they throw poop at each other. That's the same.
Yeah. But if you gave a monkey an Acorns account,
they throw acorns at each other too.
When you Google monkey law, naturally the first result you get is the Scopes monkey trial, which reminds me of one of the best jokes on Twitter I saw about this incident, which was simply inherit the eight wins.
Train's coming. Seen the smoke way up the track.
All cast, no brakes.